T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That time once again has arrived, the beginning of the fourth and final hour of the Bobby Mack Show. We like to lovingly refer to it as the bonus hour, but just like the 3 hours that preceded it, you know what we do in this one? Let's do that. Grab the phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307, and my email address, bob@1063WORD.com. Boneheads in the news still to come in this hour of the program today. You know, all these crazy lefties that all want to be the Democrat nominee, in other words, to be the sacrificial lamb to pull a George McGovern, as he did in 1972, to go down to a historic defeat at the hands of Donald J. Trump in November of 2020. All of them endorsing a lot of the ideas, things that are already implemented in the golden state of California. Boy, I'm telling you, what a mess the liberals, the progressives have turned California into. A few cases in point. Oh, sorry, before I get to that, I neglected to notice the phone line. Henry is along and is in Hendersonville, and he will be our leadoff batter in the bonus hour talking about the IQ testing. Hi, Henry, and welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. Greetings from the could-be-a-member-of-Mensa Club.
Ah, nice to hear from you.
Yeah.
That's a club you will never find Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson in, nor will you find Maxine Waters there either.
Yeah, I think they're in the opposite club.
I believe they are. They are in the dummy club.
The Denver club.
Yes, they definitely are that. They are denser than a black hole.
Yes, I had a funny story to share with you, but before that, may I just say in passing that I heard some of that list of Time's influential people, and boy, oh boy, does that say how shallow Time magazine readers and probably our society are. That there's so many actors and actresses and stuff on a list of influential people. I mean,
yeah,
they spend their lives pretending to be other people. How is that influential?
I mean, yeah, exactly. And they've been doing so since they dropped out of school in the ninth grade.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's shameful. But anyway, and when I was in high school, we had a sociology teacher. I thought this was hilarious. For about a month, he kept telling us, okay, In a month, we're going to give everybody here an IQ test, and based on the results of that test, we're going to divide you up for the rest of the school year into like the high achievers and the slower people and the average people, and they're going to divide the groups up, the class, for the rest of the season.
Well, put me in with the slackers, will you?
half the kids were freaking out because every day he'd say, now go home and study for the IQ test, which I thought was hilarious. Half of them didn't get it. You know?
What, you're supposed to go home and read the Encyclopedia Britannica? Is that it?
Yeah. So what he did was he led up to it for like a month. He kept telling us that, and then he did give us an IQ test.
Right.
And he gave us what is known in the vernacular as the Chitlin test, which was there were people that say that the standard IQ tests are biased towards white middle-class suburban people.
Right.
So someone came up with an alternative one back in, I think, the 70s called a Chitlin test, which was supposedly geared more towards urban youth and things that urban people would be familiar with. And it had questions on there like, how long do you cook cheap chitlins? And what is a deuce and a quarter? Which I knew that was a big car. Electric 225.
Right. What's the color for the Crips? Right.
Yeah, what was Charlie Parker's nickname?
Right, Bird.
Yeah. I remember.
Right.
Yeah, Yardbird, yeah.
That's right.
So, anyway, I scored second in the class after the only black kid in the class, I must say. by like one or two points, but not by much. There you go.
See, that proves the validity of the test, right?
Yeah. Well, that was pretty funny that he kept telling everybody study for the IQ test, and they were all freaking out about it.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Study for the IQ test. Yeah, right. I'm gonna get cracking on that right away.
Jeez. Yep. So,
classic.
I just thought you'd appreciate that.
I do. Thanks. Thanks, Henry. I appreciate the call. Now, I mentioned the Golden State of California. Officials at San Francisco International Airport, SFO on your luggage tag, are evaluating how to best address the growing issue of homeless people taking shelter in the air hub, the latest challenge stemming from Northern California's homelessness crisis. Earlier this week, Fox 2 TV station KTVU explained that San Francisco International Airport is experiencing a recent surge of homeless people taking refuge in the busy airport, many said to arrive in the middle of the night via BART trains south from the city. That's Bay Area Rapid Transit. Though representatives for the airport did not immediately return Fox News' request for comment on the story, I bet they didn't, a spokesperson, Doug Yeagle, told Channel 2 that administrators are working hard to produce short- and long-term solutions. Ultimately, we want to develop advocacy that finds the proper channels for these individuals, so we're starting to reach out to homeless advocacy in San Mateo County. We're looking to set up something with the city of San Francisco as well. We might make SamTrans tokens available to them, whatever they are. We might, if they're eligible, transport them to a nearby homeless shelter. There you go. Using BART. All right. And that's not the least of their worries. Careful where you step. This from Zero Hedge. By many measures, San Francisco is a world-class city, tourist mecca, 25 million visitors each year. It's home to wonders of the modern world, the Golden Gate Bridge, its iconic cable cars, as well as powerful progressive politicians. Pelosi, the lunatic Governor Gavin Newsom, U.S. Senator Kamala Harris, Silicon Valley and its booming economy. But the city itself is in big trouble. Today, San Francisco hosts an estimated homeless population, 7,500 people. What do you want to bet it's higher than that? Affluent sections of the city have become dangerous with open-air drug use, tens of thousands of discarded needles, and sadly, human waste. Since 2011, there have been 118,352 reported instances of human waste on city streets. The new mayor, London Breed, won election by promising to clean things up. However, conditions are the same or worse. Last year, the number of reports spiked to an all-time high, just over 28,000. First quarter of this year, the pace continued with more than 6,500 instances of human waste on the city sidewalks and streets. Holy cow. This is incredible, and the numbers just go on and on and on. The city has taken steps to crack down on the crisis. Over the last year, you may remember hearing about this on the show previously, the Department of Public Works instituted what the San Francisco Chronicle has taken to calling the Poop Patrol, consisting of five teammates. The paper estimates each employee earned a hefty $184,000 in pay, perks, and pension benefits. The people on the Poop Patrol are making $184,000 a year. They may be underpaid. Using this payroll information, we quantified the taxpayer cost of each human waste case last year. It costs $32.75 to clean up each exemplar of human waste. That's not including, by the way, the cost in trucks, fuels, and equipment, like the steam cleaning unit. This is just the cost of the employees to do it. Anybody remember the turn of the 20th century when San Francisco was called the Paris of the West? And now, in addition to power blackouts, apparently they have brownouts as well. Horrible what they've done to that city and that state. 17 after 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back. Welcome back. 6:23 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Texter says, Bobby, I think the button on Jeopardy is rigged. Well, I can understand why you might think that with what's been going on in the last week or so. Have you seen this guy that's on there winning now? James Holzhauer is dominating. In fact, it was so bad last night, I told my baby doll Brenda, why doesn't Alex just ask the questions only to James and let him answer yes or no? Because the guy, it is total domination. Here's what happened at the end. Wait a second, we got to lead this in. There we go. Last night, he won $106,181. That is the second highest single-day total in history. He also has the record for biggest single-day total. Last Tuesday, he won $110,914. He's won 9 games in a row now. Here's what it sounded like last night on Jeopardy.
In the year 2014, this 10,000-square-mile region moved its clocks forward 2 hours to Moscow Standard Time. James, our champion, had 66,181 and wrote down the correct response. What is Crimea? And as he indicated yesterday, he's running out of birthdays, so he salutes no one. What does he add in cash? 40 grand. The win today, $106,181.
Yeah, so he's well up over $400,000. I can understand the texter saying the button on Jeopardy's rigged. The other people standing around, like, hey, what's the matter with this thing? Bobby, unlike the actors you were speaking of earlier, I actually have a triple digit IQ. I doubt if any of theirs is much above double digits. Yeah, I have my doubts as well. By the way, I was looking through that list. Try as I might, I can't find the name Lori Loughlin on there anywhere. Yeah. Boy, are they playing this one wrong? Bobby, I thought it was Detroit that at one time was called the Paris of the West. Bobby, I wonder what AOC's IQ is. Unmeasurable, probably, would be my guess. Didn't she graduate cum laude with an econ degree and drove Amazon and all those jobs out of New York? Brilliant. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. There is big news today, though, about what's going on the border. You're not going to hear that much about it from the lamestream media, certainly not in a positive way. But in hopes of cutting down on fraud and abuse, The new Attorney General, Bill Barr, has implemented a new ruling requiring that individuals who are seeking asylum in the U.S. be held in detention facilities until their court date. Now, you know how backed up these immigration courts are. They don't have nearly enough judges for them. It can be, what, 5 years before you have an immigration court hearing? But essentially what A.G. Barr is doing is ending catch and release of those who come here claiming asylum. And they know exactly what to say because all the pro-immigration groups meet with these people either in their nation of origin, whether it's in the Northern Triangle countries or at the border itself, and tell them, okay, look, this is what you do when the Border Patrol people come. This is what you say to them. All right, so they're coached. They know how to go about seeking asylum. And as I just mentioned, the vast majority of asylum claims are thrown out. Credible fear or reasonable fear statements are fraudulently used to gain access into this country. The White House reminding us there's been a massive spike in migrants claiming asylum at the border, regardless of whether their claims have merit or not. Now, interestingly, prior to 2013, one out of every 100 aliens arriving at the border claimed credible fear and sought asylum. That number has skyrocketed from 1 out of 100 to 1 out of every 10. This is no coincidence. This is no accident. Less than 10% of those who were granted credible fear in 2018 were ultimately approved for asylum. What happened to the rest of them? They turned them loose. Capacity at immigration facilities pushed to its limit, driving our already broken system from catch and release to just simply release. And it's obvious that Congress needs to fix our asylum laws by raising the credible fear standard and tightening the eligibility requirements to prevent the obvious abuse of the system. Currently, migrants with meritless claims often cross the border illegally, then they get here and they claim credible fear, and they're released into the interior of the country. The asylum backlog sits at nearly 500,000 cases, with an additional 348,000 individuals waiting in the immigration court system. If you don't think this undermines the integrity of the asylum system, you're not paying attention. They delay legal protection for individuals who are legitimately fleeing persecution and have valid asylum claims. And, of course, there is the pull factor for illegal immigration. By providing protection from removal from this country, they create an incentive for those without lawful status to enter and remain in the U.S. So this is a big step. And you watch. There'll be a lawsuit that follows, and it'll go to the Ninth Circus, and they'll appeal it to the Supreme Court. The usual litany of activist judges used by the Democrats for these purposes. 6:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Patrick's next with the real news. Then I'm back on the other side with the last half of the bonus hour, as well as today's edition of Boneheads in the News. Welcome back. Great to have you along as we watch the big hand climb towards the 7 p.m., the conclusion of the Bobby Mack Show. Last half of the bonus hour here on Hump Day. Seems like as good a time as any for us to bring you
Boneheads in the News.
Yes, and we have some likely candidates today, like a guy from New Jersey got married and at his own wedding, groped a waitress. What is this guy? Some Joe Biden nephew or something? Anyway, he was in court the other day in an attempt to get the charges dismissed. Didn't work.
If that young man committed a crime at his reception, Dr. Phil couldn't fix this marriage. The fact that she's with him tells you he's an innocent man.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, that's the story his lawyer is telling, and he's sticking to it. Charges were not dismissed, though. This case will go to trial. Gulp. Been there, done that. I mentioned how in my previous incarnation as a TV meteorologist, we had a tornado in Memphis during a NFL football game where we busted in the coverage of the ball game. It was the Steelers and somebody. To tell people there was an active tornado on the ground, which prompted tons of complaints from people saying, hey, put the ball game back on. We don't care about a stupid tornado. Well, in Georgia, with the Masters on Sunday afternoon and Tiger vying for his fifth green jacket, the meteorologists did the same thing. They interrupted. However, they have split-screen technology now, which we didn't have then, so people could see the action in the Masters, but they couldn't hear it. While they tracked a severe storm in the Atlanta area, tornado did touch down an hour outside of Atlanta, and the meteorologists were upset that people were complaining.
We decided to double box, so split screen, the Masters, and Jennifer and I were here covering the tornadoes. And the feedback that we got, the backlash that we got, the hatred that we got from that 10 minutes of being on air to keep people safe was unreal. It was disgusting. We go on TV if there's a tornado warning anywhere in Georgia because it's our duty to keep people safe. And that's something that we're going to continue to do. We're not going to back down from that. As a news station, it is our duty to do that, to keep our viewers safe.
But, of course, you know, if you're a golf fan and you're nowhere near the tornado, well, then you want to see Tiger hit an 8-iron on 16. You don't care where the tornado is. Meantime, let's go northwards. 21-year-old guy in St. Paul, Minnesota, part of the Twin Cities, was running from the cops yesterday after crashing a stolen car. So he ran onto somebody's property trying to get away. Unfortunately, he ran onto the property of a guy who has a sign in his yard that says, no trespassing. Violators will be shot. Survivors will be shot again.
When they were in the area starting the search, they heard gunshots. They closed in, looking to where those shots came from, and located an adult male with apparent gunshot wounds in a nearby yard. Also with that male was an adult male armed with a handgun who described himself as a homeowner. St. Paul fire paramedics responded to the scene to treat the adult male with the gunshot wounds. The homeowner was cooperative with officers, surrendered his firearm, and an investigation was begun into what occurred there.
Well, it's not as if he didn't warn them. He did have a sign in the yard, trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again until they give up. Man. You know, when you mess with somebody who's craving ice cream in the middle of the night, all bets are off. Can we agree on that? There's a woman who went to a Rally's fast food joint in St. Louis a few weeks ago, 2:25 in the morning or thereabouts, because she wanted some chocolate ice cream. And when you want chocolate ice cream, well, buddy, you want chocolate ice cream. But tragic news, they were out of chocolate ice cream at Rally's. They only had vanilla. Made the woman so angry, she grabbed a baseball bat and smashed out all of the windows. Then took off. Cops are trying to track her down. Did she bring the baseball bat with her to Rally's at 2:25 in the morning? Or was there just one laying around and she picked it up? Inquiring minds want to know. Now you tell me, does this count as kicking yourself? 58-year-old Michelle Jackson, Marrero, Louisiana. Last week, her 59-year-old boyfriend dumped her for good. They'd had a 6-year on-again, off-again relationship. That made Michelle so angry, she did the only logical thing. Later that night, while he was asleep, she grabbed his prosthetic leg and started beating him about the head and shoulders with it. Wound up with a pretty nasty cut on his head, she was arrested for aggravated battery. Yeah. By the way, on the prosthetic leg crime beat, police in England trying to track down a one-legged drug dealer who's, pardon the expression, on the run after trying to import $10 million worth of speed. Wow. He's not handicapped. He's got $10 million worth of speed he's trying to pedal. Oh, boy. There we go. That is today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
You betcha. 6:44 now, 16 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. When we come right back on the other side, there is more news on the front of all these Dems who were involved in the collusion, the attempted coup against the Trump presidency. Not only is A.G. Barr, William Barr, Bill Barr, saying that he is going to investigate because he believes there was spying on the Trump campaign, but you may remember that David Nunes, the congressman, also has submitted a list of 24 individuals for criminal referrals to the DOJ. So they have problems on more than one front. The Dems do, as all of this stuff is about to collapse onto their heads. Give you the details on that and more when we come back to wrap things up here on the Bobby Mac Show on Hump Day on WORD. Well, I hope if you're not entertained, you are at least informed as we press into the closing minutes of the bonus hour here on Hump Day. As I mentioned before we went to the break, as many as 24 individuals may be implicated in House Intelligence Committee Ranking Member Devin Nunes' criminal referrals to the DOJ arising out of Mueller's recently concluded Russia probe. The sources confirmed the referrals related in part to the anti-Trump dossier compiled by former British spy Christopher Steele and his work for the Clinton campaign and the DNC as they funded this this Fusion GPS opposition research firm. They dig up dirt on other candidates. Meanwhile, three top Republican Senate committee chairmen said yesterday the DOJ has 10 days to explain itself as to why FBI investigators looking into Hillary's email use in 2016 sought access to highly classified information they said was necessary to complete their probe, but later withdrew the request and cleared Hillary of any wrongdoing. The renewed GOP push for answers coming a month after it emerged that the DOJ negotiated an agreement with Hillary's legal team that ensured the FBI did not have access to emails on her private servers relating to the Clinton Foundation. Mm-hmm. Republicans, citing whistleblowers, contend that the charitable organization, the Clinton Crime Family Foundation, may have been involved in pay-to-play schemes during Hillary's tenure as Secretary of State. One of those, by the way, asking for these answers is the Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman, Lindsey Graham. Okay, so now DOJ has 10 days to try and explain themselves. This whole thing is just so corrupt. As I mentioned earlier in the program, it makes Watergate look like kindergarten stuff. And this is only the beginning, you know, with the Mueller Inquisition, the attempted coup d'etat by rogue individuals at the FBI and the DOJ against the sitting president. I mean, you go back, what's been occurring under the Obama administration is all part of a pattern of this criminally evil behavior that goes back to the earliest days of the Obama presidency. Barack and Hillary constituted an axis of evil, seeking to transform this country, as Obama said, from a constitutional republic into his idea of what they call a democracy. Along the way, arming al-Qaeda, flooding Europe with refugees, illegally targeting domestic political enemies using the IRS, trying to steal the 2016 election and attempting to destroy an incoming president with this coordinated conspiracy to remove him from office and overthrow the will of the American people, to remove a duly elected American president. This stuff is on a scale that defies the imagination, and yet there they are in plain sight. Where, by the way, a corrupt mainstream media refused to look, or worse, actively participate in every aspect, aiding and abetting these criminal attempts to usurp Trump's presidency, to corrupt our judicial system, and to overturn the electoral process. And trust me, this stuff all leads right back to the doors of Hillary and Barack Obama. Because the only collusion with Russia was the Kremlin-supplied Steele dossier, which was nothing but a disinformation campaign using foreign spies who were associates of Vladimir Putin, paid for by Hillary and the DNC, and deliberately infiltrated nine different ways to Sunday at the DOJ, among others by Brennan, James Clapper, James Comey, Harry Reid, John McCain, with hefty assists from John Kerry and Loretta Lynch. And the ensuing witch hunt, and remember the insurance policy that Strzok and Page mentioned, turns out to be a three-year McCarthyite campaign of nothing but smears and one lie after another, doing more damage to this country than Vladimir Putin and the Russians could ever accomplish. And it was intentional damage in pursuit of an obvious lie. And this goes beyond being just criminal behavior. This is downright evil. It's a criminal mafia that has ruined lives, killed millions in Libya, Syria, and Iraq, worked with Al-Qaeda, allowed ISIS to establish a caliphate, decimating millions of people, creating a humanitarian catastrophe across Africa and leading into Europe as well, willing to lie straight to our face over and over again, willing to use the intelligence agencies to spy on an opposition presidential candidate under this trumped-up claim of being a Russian asset, willing to arm Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria while campaigning for re-election in 2020, saying Al-Qaeda is dead, and then happy to give Iran $150 billion, supplying American arms to the Al-Qaeda militias that then took over Benghazi. Because the attack on our consulate didn't just happen. That was a long-planned assault by the same Al-Qaeda militants that the Obama administration has armed. That's why there was a secret CIA annex in Benghazi. The reason Ambassador Stevens was even in Benghazi, he was there to oversee the purchase of weapons as part of the ongoing CIA operation. That ugly truth, as a journalist Laura Logan confirmed, has now been revealed. Many suspected it in the past, but now we know that it's true. Then you got the Steele dossier. You've got the Bond villains of Brennan and Clapper and Comey. And then you've got all these coup plotters. The damage that these people have done to the American system cannot go unpunished. Cannot go unpunished. Got to wrap things up for tonight. Hope you have a great evening. I will see you tomorrow. God bless.
That's all, folks.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter,
every time we say goodbye,
goodbye.
You say goodbye.
What?
And I say hello.
Hello. I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you. Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.